Christians are saying is, couldn't we have put the focus, couldn't we have put the emphasis on Easter?
Trace, perhaps they could have put Trans Visibility Day today, which is also April Fool's Day.
Yeah. Dave Rubin, great to see you. Thank you, sir.
That is a deadpan Dave Rubin on Fox News yesterday. Today is April 2nd, 2024. I'm Dave Rubin. This is The Rubin Report. We're live streaming on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Share, subscribe, tap the notification bell. Post-game show, which I promise we will do today, barring an EMP surge, at rubinreport.locals.com. Yes, yesterday the live stream went down. I know the conspiracy theorists are out there because we've had a couple internet issues for the last week. We officially have Starlink, so the satellite. Elon has adjusted the satellite accordingly. We have Starlink as a backup. We're working on a couple other things. Connor, we got all the frames? All the frames are working today, so we believe we will get through a show today. We have no reason to believe it was the government coming for us, other than the government's coming for us. But I'm pretty sure we can get through a whole show today. Before we get into the meat of the show, however, I do want to address that Trans Visibility Day that fell on Easter, because this picture came out. This is apparently the founder of Trans Visibility Day. That is Rachel Crandall Crocker, the founder of Trans Day of Visibility. And then we were also able to find a picture of him without makeup. There you go. We got a big show for you today, guys. What I believe is happening right now is that there is a spiritual war manifesting itself in a political battle, right? Like, the answers to all of the things that we are dealing with right now are not exactly political answers. We all kind of got to get right with ourselves. And then I think we can sort of organize things properly to fight the political battles that are just hitting us in every which direction. So today we are going to cover a couple things involving RFK Jr., who seems to be gaining a little momentum again and breaking into that mainstream thing. And then you see how the mainstream, remember, if you break into the mainstream and they don't like what you're doing, then they got to try to take you out. And we're going to show you that sort of big divide, let's say, between some places that just have more and more bad policies leading to crime and just general dereliction and awfulness, versus a couple places that are kind of doing it right, because normal people are waking up. And again, it is not political, it is spiritual. And I think we can, I really do believe we can get through this. And I think there is a reason that this is all happening to us now. I also think that maybe it was going to happen no matter what, because we're 20 years into all having a phone in our pocket and all of the different ways we're getting information. Like, this moment, this weird, precarious moment and this crazy election, it was all sort of destined to be right now. And the choice now is, which way are we gonna go? So first off, I wanna start with RFK Jr., because he went on CNN yesterday and they wanted to frame him as somehow sympathetic to Trump, who is, of course, the greatest threat ever to democracy. But RFK wasn't having it.
When people talk about the threat to democracy that Trump poses, do you really think that that is an equal to Biden?
I can make the argument that President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, so to censor his opponent. I can say that because I just won a case in the Federal Court of Appeals and now before the Supreme Court. It shows that he started censoring not just me. 37 hours after he took the oath of office, he was censoring me. No president in the country has ever done that. The greatest threat to democracy is not somebody who questions election returns, but a president of the United States who used the power of his office to force the social media companies, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to open a portal and give access to that portal to the FBI, to the CIA, to the IRS, to CISA, to NIH, to censor his political critics. President Biden, for the first president in history, to use the secret, his power over the Secret Service, to deny Secret Service protection to one of his political opponents for political reasons. He's weaponizing the federal agencies. Those are really critical threats
to
democracy.
Donald Trump, of course.
course, she brings it back to Donald Trump. We'll get to another clip in just a second. But what's interesting there is you can see they're trying to lay out a trap for him, basically implying that if he doesn't condemn Trump as the most dangerous, he's somehow in cahoots with Trump. But RFK lays out a very clean and cogent and actually truthful argument as to why Biden has been so authoritarian. We now know that they were working with big tech. Many of us were suspecting it for a couple of years, right, to silence people during COVID. And let's not forget, they didn't even get to it there, that Joe Biden's administration was also mandating vaccines that we now know either didn't work or were completely farcical from the beginning. And what right does the government have to tell you what you're going to inject into your body? Anyway, it continued because she didn't want to let go of this idea that Trump tried to overturn the election. Yes, some people showed up to the Capitol on January 6th and they had no plans and no weapons and everything else. And it was all done in 4 hours, but they cannot get over it. And here RFK pushes back quite well again.
Donald Trump, of course, tried to overturn a free and fair election. He tried to overturn one, right? He's still fighting in court.
Yes.
How is that not a threat to democracy?
Well, I think that is a threat to democracy. If trying to overthrow the election clearly is a threat to democracy. But the question was, who is a worse threat to democracy? And what I would say is, I'm not going to answer that question, but I can argue that President Biden is, because the First Amendment, Aaron, is the most important. Adams and Hamilton and Madison said, we put the guarantee of freedom of expression in the First Amendment because all of our other constitutional rights depend on it. If you have a government that can silence its opponents, it has license for any atrocity.
So just to be clear, you're saying you could make an argument that President Biden is a worse threat to democracy than Donald
Absolutely.
Trump. That's what you just said.
But who else has ever tried to censor, what president in history mm-hmm. has ever tried to censor political opponents? What president has weaponized the federal agency?
So interesting, because she's clearly acting more like a prosecutor for the Democrats. Like, uh-oh, this guy might take some votes for us. We got to pin him in Trump world. We can't have him going after Biden. Although it's always odd to me, because you know who he is when you bring him on the show, and I will give credit where credit is due. I'm glad he's getting on some of these shows. But yes, the First Amendment is important. Donald Trump never went after anyone's First Amendment rights, never worked with the three-letter agencies to silence anyone or anything else. Joe Biden did. And not only did Joe Biden do it, but they didn't even do it in secrecy. This is one of my favorite videos of all time, because this was the moment that everybody should have been like, whoops, look behind the curtain, and it ain't the all-powerful Oz. It's just an old man with dementia. This is Jen Psaki back in July of 21 telling us that the government was working with big tech to silence us.
This is a big issue of misinformation, specifically on the pandemic. In terms of actions, Alex, that we have taken, or we're working to take, I should say, from the federal government, we've increased disinformation research and tracking within the Surgeon General's office. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation. We're working with doctors and medical professionals to connect to connected medical experts who are popular with their audiences with accurate information and boost trusted content. So we're helping get trusted content out there, providing for Facebook or other platforms to measure and publicly share the impact of misinformation on their platform and the audience it's reaching. Also with the public, with all of you, to create robust enforcement strategies that bridge their properties and provide transparency about rules. You shouldn't be banned from one platform and not others providing misinformation out there.
No, you should just be banned from all platforms. We're the freaking government. What do you think we're doing over here? That moment, and I get it that COVID was like a giant mind F for all of us, and we were all kind of broken in the brain, and it was all very weird, and we think back on it now, and it's like a weird dream in some ways. It's like, did that actually happen? And yes, don't forget that it happened, because they're going to try it again. May not be called COVID, might be called disease X, might be something else, but yes, the overarching thing of a crisis to put more power in these people's hands absolutely is going to happen again. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. But the reason I'm showing you that clip again is that they want to frame Trump as a criminal. I think what has happened here, I think this is the paradigm shift that we're seeing right now. Note this in your brain and watch it going forward. I think they have realized, especially in the last couple months with all of this border stuff, and watching all of these people pour into our cities and rampage through the border and everything else, and then the crime that subsequently comes with it, I think what they're realizing is calling Trump a racist is not working. It's officially just not working anymore. So what do we have to shift to? We have to shift to he is a criminal, right? He's a criminal because he instigated an insurrection or an erection. That's what they say sometimes. He also has got all these criminal cases in New York and in Georgia and other things. These are counts and these are indictments. He must be a criminal. And I really think that's the paradigm shift here. The racist thing just doesn't work because the truth is, as many Americans have watched 7 million illegals fly into the country or rampage through the country in the last 3 years, they kind of would take a racist. I'm not calling Trump racist, but I think a lot of people would be like, you know what, that guy's a little racist, but he's going to put a border. Yeah, we'll go for it. Okay. So it is not racism anymore. It is his criminality. And just put that, just kind of pin that in your brain, and you were going to watch this unfold going forward. Has the internet not gone down yet? Because that's where it should have gone down if they were going to take us out today. All right, guys, let's talk about TWC Health, and then we'll get to the other side. Are you struggling to get a good night's sleep? You're not alone. Millions of Americans face an epidemic of sleeplessness that is silently harming their health and well-being. And millions of Americans are parents, which means they're not sleeping nearly as much as they should be. Don't I know it? So when they lay down at night knowing that they have something to ensure a deep and regenerative sleep, it's life-changing. But before you reach for melatonin, you should know that there are mountains of research revealing the many risks of melatonin. It's actually been banned from over-the-counter sales in many countries, but not North America. From disrupting sleep cycles to increasing tolerance and dependency over time, if you're in need of a sleep supplement, melatonin is not it. Enter Restful Sleep Formula, crafted by awake doctors who understand the harms of melatonin, like Dr. Peter McCullough and his chief medical board at the Wellness Company. Restful Sleep Formula is an all-natural alternative to melatonin, packed with ashwagandha, kava, chamomile, passion flower, and more. This powerful capsule has everything you need for a deep, rejuvenating sleep. And here's the kicker. With Restful Sleep Formula, you actually save 56% compared to buying each one of these supplements separately. Plus, you save an extra 15% and get free shipping when you use code Ruben at checkout. Don't just dream of better sleep. Make it a reality. Visit twc.health/Ruben today and use code Ruben at checkout. And now back to me. Okay, so what is the working thesis for today's program? It is that the racist charge is not working. Donald Trump's Hitler, all of MAGA are racists. It ain't working. Now it's, he's a criminal, and you can't vote for a criminal, can ya? Do we have anything that might offer some more proof of this thesis? My God, we do. Hillary Clinton, failed presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, who once said that Donald Trump was an illegitimate president. Hillary Clinton, married to a former president who raped an intern. Remember that? She was on Jimmy Fallon's comedy program last night and also was running with Donald Trump is a criminal.
No more Easter Bunny talk, yeah. I mean, it's Biden versus Trump.
Yes,
we know that.
It is.
What do you say to voters who are upset that those are the two choices?
Get over yourself. Those are the two choices.
Yeah, love that.
Right? And, yeah, and good. You know, it's kind of like one is old and effective and compassionate, yeah, has a heart and really cares about people, and one is old and has been charged with 91 felonies.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
okay, interesting.
I don't understand why this is even a hard choice, really.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But we have to go through the election and hopefully people will realize what's at stake, because it's an existential question. What kind of country we're going to have, what kind of democracy we're going to have. And people who blow that off are not paying attention, because it's not like Trump, his enablers, his empowerers, his allies are not telling us what they want to do. I mean, they're pretty clear about what kind of country they want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So get out there and vote.
Get out there
vote,
and vote. Well, that's what this is really about. Get out.
Except Hill, look what you and your people are doing. You're opening up our borders. You're creating sanctuary cities. You're allowing lawlessness. You're chopping genitals off children. So who is compassionate, right? Well, he's old and compassionate. Oh, I mean, no, not really. Joe Biden, first off, it's not even Joe Biden, and you damn well know it, Hillary. Nobody honestly thinks that Joe Biden is running the show. He wakes up, he sniffs a small child, he gives a poorly read speech, and he goes to bed. That's what's going on here. But again, what she's really saying is the indictments are the thing. She knows she can't get up there and say, well, he's racist. It's just not working anymore, right? They tried that with the wall, that he's racist and he's Hitler and he's orange and he's a Nazi and all of that stuff. So it's not working anymore. So now it's just about the 91 indictments. By the way, just because you're indicted and just because you're accused of things doesn't mean you're guilty of things. Again, in the New York case alone, where they are accusing him or they accused him of overinflating the value of his properties, everyone got paid back. There is no one that didn't get their money back. Okay, yeah, I know you know that. But this notion of the criminality thing, trust me, guys, this is what's happening right now, and it's unfolding right in front of our faces. The Daily Show, which they brought back, and it's now a once-a-week show with Jon Stewart, also has a podcast. I did not know that, but I have people here who watch things so that I don't have to. And on that podcast, actress Leslie Jones, famous for Ghostbusters, that horrible Ghostbusters. Remember that feminist? I bought that thing. I bought it. It was horrible. Remember when that horrible Ghostbusters came out and everyone was saying how horrible it was? And I was like, all right, I'm a cultural tastemaker. I should probably watch this thing. I bought it. And now is there a way to delete something you've bought on Apple TV? It's just there. There's no delete. I just have it now for the rest of my life. Anywho, I'll deal with that later. Connor, we're going to work through that later. But anyway, Leslie Jones went on the Daily Show podcast to talk about Trump being a criminal.
How do you not look at Trump and not see criminal?
Well, do you think it's apathy, laziness, or insanity?
I think it's uneducation. That's what I think. I think it's uneducation, and I think that it's what they're fed, what type of, like, you could go into different states and they have different type of news media.
Well, shit, they have different types of news media in different states, and we're all walking around with one of these things and we're allowed to make choices for ourselves? Shit. But again, he's a criminal, and the people who follow him are now uneducated, right? They're not necessarily racist anymore. I mean, of course, they are racist, but now they're uneducated, and they're following a criminal. Now let's jump over to the televised mental institution known as MSNBC, where Congresswoman from Maryland, Donna Edwards, she also understands that the justice system has a problem, but it's tilted too much towards Donald Trump. What?
I want to start with this new video that Trump posted. The spokesman for the Biden campaign, Michael Tyler, told the New York Times that it's time people start taking the ex-president seriously and reference the Capitol police officers who were attacked on January the 6th. So my question to you is, what is it going to take for people to actually start taking this guy seriously? It appears that at every turn, he is just allowed to do whatever he wants and get away with it without any reprimand.
Well, it does seem that the scales of justice are really imbalanced when it comes to Donald Trump. That, you know, there are things that he's engaged in, for example, that for any other criminal defendant would have landed them back in jail in lockup with their bail revoked.
What are you talking about, lady? It's just words. He paid the fine. And we all know the only reason he was there even going after him is because he's running for president. So the scales of justice are working against Trump. But okay, they really want you to think that Donald Trump is a criminal. And by the way, I've had plenty of criticisms of Donald Trump. You know, he did post this picture of Joe Biden being hogtied. Like, that ain't great. The constant denial of the election, it still ain't great, because there's another oncoming problem that if Trump loses, let's say Trump loses the president, I'm just trying to give the devil his due here. If Trump loses legitimately in November, he can't admit that he lost, because his whole reason right now for running is they stole it from him last time. So you can't be like, oh, they stole it from me last time, I lost this time legit. No, you'd obviously say they stole it from you. So that leaves us in a bad place anyway. But that's all aside right now. Even despite that, more and more people are waking up to the evils of the machine and going, you know, maybe I'm just going to have to jump in with Trump. But the point here is that not only do they view Trump as a criminal, and you as uneducated, but soon they will view you as a criminal as well. This is video, again, from that televised mental institution. They brought on Eric Swalwell. I really cannot stand this guy. And listen to how he describes people who believe in the Second Amendment.
that I'm constantly thinking about is one, and asking folks about, folks like you about, is that there is, our eyes are open to the kind of threats that come with elections nowadays, the concerns that we have and should continue to have, right, from January 6th on and even before that. And I'm curious if you are less concerned or more concerned about the possibility of political violence in 2024, largely because folks are paying attention, and right, we are having these conversations more consistently, but at the same time, they seem to be growing, the threats.
Much more concerned.
Yeah.
We're still a country that's armed to the teeth, right? You know, the most dangerous people have access to the most dangerous weapons in this country. The violent rhetoric, as we saw, you know, just yesterday from the former president's, you know, truth account, where he's glorifying violence, continues to go up.
You see how they're ratcheting it up? So they're ratcheting up because you are violent too. The most dangerous people have the most dangerous weapons. No, we have background checks in all 50 states, and there are federal background checks as well. And each state has its own laws as to how many days it takes to get the gun and everything. And even in freaking Florida, I couldn't walk into the gun shop and walk out with the gun that day. It's just nonsense. And also the most dangerous people. No, if you're a criminal with a criminal record, you cannot get a gun. But the point is, you get it, that they lie about everything. But the next portion of this is that somehow it will be that if Trump becomes president, then his people will also be armed and coming after you. And it's like, what are you guys talking about? Political violence. I remember political violence. Remember the summer of 2020, the summer of love, where you guys were burning down stores? Does anyone remember that? How about right now? Who's doing political violence right now in Portland and Seattle? It's Antifa, right? Who's taking over bridges and stopping ambulances from being able to go through the city and picketing outside Jewish-owned restaurants in New York City and elsewhere? It's you guys. It's you guys. But Eric Swalwell has been offering us great insight on Donald Trump for quite some time. You might remember this.
The evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
Yeah, that's real. Apparently, they claim Chris Matthews, who's no longer with MSNBC, claimed that it was actually him moving his mug. But look, I'm moving a mug on a table. But yes, it was Eric Swalwell farting, which is probably the most sense he's made on that fucking shit show. Anyway, we have more coming for you in just a second, because the irony is they only care about this guy when they can frame him as a criminal, because that's what they need. That is where we are at. They do not care about crime. They don't care about the economy. They don't care about the border. They care about power. That's where we are at. And until we realize that we cannot give them any more power, they're just going to keep taking and taking and taking. But we will get to that on the other side. Let me talk to you guys about 1775 Coffee. Guys, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you hate crappy coffee? Well, I, for one, really hate bad coffee, which is why I'm so excited to introduce you guys to a company revolting against bad coffee, 1775 Coffee Company. In 1775, the world awakened to a new era. And now, 1775 Coffee Company is bringing you a coffee that embodies that revolutionary spirit. Crafted with passion and precision, our beans are ethically and exclusively sourced from the finest coffee farms of Bolivia. 1775 Coffee Company's farm-to-cup journey ensures the highest quality, authenticity, and sustainability from start to finish. With each sip, your palate will recognize and appreciate the dedication and passion that goes into crafting this single-source brew. 1775 Coffee takes pride in offering customers a truly exceptional coffee experience with their premium coffee collection, but their dedication to this revolution extends beyond the realm of taste. Safeguarding freedom of speech is critical right now, which is why 1775 Coffee Company has joined forces with Rumble in defense of one of our most fundamental rights, freedom of speech. Coffee that's sure to awaken all senses, including the sense of freedom. Choose 1775 Coffee by going to 1775coffee.com/Ruben and use code Ruben for 10% off at checkout on your first offer. 1775 Coffee, brewed to perfection, crafted with revolution. Okay, so let's just say, I'm going to go on a crazy adventure with you guys. Let's just say we all go in on it. And we're just all like, you know what? Donald Trump is a criminal. And all his supporters, yeah, they're racist and they're uneducated and they're the scariest people with the scariest weapons. Okay, let's just go on that adventure. Well, what would be the alternative? The alternative is the Democrats. And what are the Democrats offering? Well, how about this video? This is from Walgreens in San Francisco on Easter Sunday.
On Easter Sunday, this brazen group grabbing what they please, wearing hoodies and carrying bags and backpacks, they went up and down the aisles, stealing merchandise. There is a security camera inside the store, and a KPIX employee was taking this video, but this group didn't seem to care.
And it was just like an ambush, basically. That's pretty much it. It was that quick.
Our producer who took this video didn't want to be identified, but describes what happened.
It took me about 3 seconds to pull my phone out and started videoing and or filming, and they just had no care at all. So.
Were you concerned even standing in their way taking video?
No, I mean, it's San Francisco. I'm so kind of immune to it at this point.
What was the reaction of the employees during and after?
They did nothing, basically. They're also probably immune to it. Again, it's that area. It's Market and Civic Center. I think they're used to smash and grabs in that area, especially the...
All right, so that's what's happening in Democrat-run, progressive-run San Francisco, in Democrat-run, crazy communist California. So crime is just allowed. Steal whatever you want. Nobody is going to stop you. And by the way, I have sympathy for the people that work there, right? They're decent people. And of course, what are you going to do? You're getting paid whatever that is, $12 an hour. You're going to jump in front of these hooligans and have them punch you, and then you'll probably be arrested for going after them. Everything is backwards. But again, we're going on this crazy adventure. Donald Trump is a criminal, and he's racist, and his supporters are uneducated. So what are the alternatives? Well, in San Francisco, you can run in and steal whatever you want. Let's jump over to progressive sanctuary city Denver in Colorado. Colorado, which is largely a purple state. It's a little hard to tell what's going on in Colorado as a whole. But Denver has turned pretty blue. And when I was on my book tour, what was it, 2 years ago, the place that was actually the most depressing out of all of the cities I went to, and Denver is one of the most beautiful cities in the world. I hadn't been there in a couple of years to watch the homeless encampments everywhere. It was absolutely insane. Well, here is a councilman in Sanctuary City of Denver begging illegals en español to leave and go to other places where they can get más stuff.
Nueva York te da más, Chicago te da más, entonces sugiero que vaya por allá, donde hasta también con una verde de más largo plazo, también hay más oportunidades de trabajo por allá. Hemos recibido demasiados migrantes y por eso se acabaron los recursos. No, mira, no te vamos a bloquear. Si quieres permanecer aquí, no estoy aquí para bloquearte. Estoy aquí para avisarte que tu camino no ha terminado. Si permanecen aquí, vas a sufrir hasta más. Y eso no lo quiero ver. Que tu camino no ha terminado. Tu camino no ha terminado. Que viajas un tantito más. No tienes que caminar por ningún parte. Podemos comprarte boleto gratuito. Gratuito. Puedes ir a cualquier ciudad. Hasta la frontera de Canadá te llevamos. Donde sea. Ok. ¿Y quién quiere viajar por diferentes ciudades donde hay más trabajo?
And who wants to stay in Denver?
¿Y cuál de ustedes todavía quiere permanecer aquí?
Todos, a migrant says. Everyone.
Para tú who no speak español, what he was saying there was, okay, we're a sanctuary city, we're not going to kick you out, but we've got no resources left, so you might want to get going to New York and Chicago and some other places. Now, ironically, when Ron DeSantis sent people to Martha's Vineyard, we had a 48-hour complete news meltdown, right? When a Democrat sanctuary city congressman tells them, of course, it doesn't get covered anywhere, but think how absolutely insane it is. They opened up the city. The city is now overrun. The resources are stretched thin. And now they're like, just go, like locusts. They're basically telling them, oh, you chewed up everything here. There's nothing left for you here. Go chew up everything over there. It is just absolutely extraordinary. So, but again, what we're doing in this segment is we're admitting that Donald Trump is a criminal and his supporters are, of course, racist and uneducated. So what are the alternatives? Well, the alternative was in San Francisco, you can elect a progressive and you can steal whatever you want. You can go to Denver and you can elect a progressive, and then the city will start collapsing under it being a sanctuary city and running out of resources. Or I suppose we could go to New York City and see what's going on over there. This is from NBC News. Several women have come forward on social media sharing incidents in which they said they were punched by men while walking the streets of downtown Manhattan in broad daylight in the last month. Multiple videos, which were uploaded to TikTok, have picked up traction in the last week, with women online sharing their safety concerns in comments and reply videos. One woman said she was assaulted walking home from class. Another said she was assaulted on her way to work. A third woman said she was attacked while walking her dog. At least two of the women described suspects with similar characteristics. New York police said they made an arrest in one of the incidents and are investigating another. While police wouldn't confirm that the incidents described in the TikTok videos are those they are investigating, they shared that they are looking into cases that are very similar to accounts posted on social media. Okay, so you got it. So in San Francisco, go in, steal whatever you want. Nobody's gonna stop you. Denver, the city's gonna collapse because there aren't unlimited resources. New York City, we're just punching random women on the street. And then, of course, there was the absolutely horrific incident of this 31-year-old police officer being shot. Let's jump to some info from the Daily Wire. This is in New York. A 31-year-old New York City Police Department officer died Monday after he was reportedly shot by a career criminal during a traffic stop in Queens, according to law enforcement. Jonathan Diller, a husband and father who had served 3 years on the force, conducted a traffic stop on a vehicle where a man identified as 34-year-old Rivera was sitting in the passenger seat. As police attempted to get Rivera to vacate the car, he allegedly pulled out a handgun and shot Diller in the stomach, the New York Post reported. Witness Dion Peters told the Post that he saw Diller fall to the ground after being shot, yelling, "I'm hit, I'm hit." The NYPD officer, a father to a one-year-old boy, was pronounced dead shortly after arriving at Jamaica Hospital. Tonight, the city lost a hero, a wife lost her husband, and a young child lost their father. NYPD Commissioner Edward Cabin said, "We struggle to find the words to express the tragedy of losing one of our own. The work that the police officer Jonathan Diller did each day to make the city a safer place will never be forgotten. Our prayers are with his family, loved ones, and brothers and sisters in blue." So I want to show you some video of his funeral, because look at the thousands and thousands of police officers who showed up to pay their respects to this decent man. And of course, guys, of course, police officers can be shot in any city and any state, including red cities and states. But the reason these guys are all showing up to honor and memorialize one of their own is because they've been abandoned by the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul. They have been abandoned by the mayor of New York City, Eric Adams. I want to show you this picture. I mean, this is just heartbreaking. That is Jonathan Diller's wife and one-year-old son. Like, look at that kid who doesn't have a father anymore. And this is what these Democrat policies lead to. You don't back the blue. You encourage people to be lawless. And then people start becoming more lawless. And you just slowly watch your cities descend. So anyway, those thousands of police officers who showed up to honor and memorialize their friend and colleague, you know who wasn't welcome? It was New York Governor Kathy Hochul. This is just fantastic, because people have had enough. Again, from the Daily Wire, New York Governor Kathy Hochul appeared to get a frosty reception at the wake of slain New York City police officer Jonathan Diller on Friday. Hochul arrived at Diller's wake around 1:45 p.m. on Friday and went inside to meet with the slain officer's widow, Stephanie. One witness to the exchange said that the 29-year-old widow appeared to tell off the Democratic governor. It looked like she was telling Hochul off. One witness told the New York Post it didn't look like the widow had a kind word to say. Hochul's appearance at the wake was received poorly by members of the Diller family present, according to CBS New York. As Hochul exited the building, people inside told the governor to get out, according to the outlet. And actually, we don't have it on the show today, but you can find it yourself. There is video of Hochul being turned back, trying to get in, and actually being turned back. And speaking of turning back, because they're turning her back, rightfully so, but they are also turning their back on law enforcement. And you know where we're not doing that? We're not doing that here in Florida, which is why so many NYPD officers, the best of the best, they are moving down here to continue their careers in a law and order state. And here is Ron DeSantis explaining that here in Florida, we just ain't gonna do it the way New York is doing it.
They get no support from these Democrat politicians. It used to be police officers, a lot of them were Democrats. That's changed. The Democratic Party has turned their back on law enforcement. They embrace the criminal element and let the inmates run the asylum and a lot of these people. And, you know, Obama and Biden and Clinton can go raise $25 million. because they're in the upper echelon, so they're immune from their own policies. The people that it really hurts are the people who are more working class and middle-income Americans. Democratic Party has turned their back on them. They're really become the party of the elites.
You know, I think back to, Biden, you're right. Biden, Clinton, and Obama, three of the four living presidents that are able to be there, because Carter wouldn't be able to travel, but three of the four living presidents, Democrats are raising money in a city that's just lawless. There's people dying. There's people being pushed in front of moving trains. Homelessness is rampant. Illegals are flooding the streets. They're beating up cops. And then the one Republican is over there in respect, and paying his respects for the men in blue. That's a thin blue line there on my lapel. What a stark contrast.
Stark contrast is right. And Ron DeSantis, of course, is right. The Democrats have decided to become the party of the elite. Police officers, working class people, union people used to be largely for Democrats. Now, the Democrats still have a lot of the union people because there's such a level of corruption over there. But the average person, those police officers, like, you got to have sympathy for the guy who works at Walgreens when that's happening, when people are just stealing stuff. You got to have sympathy for the police officers who don't feel like the governor and their mayor are backing them. But we are doing it reverse in some places. And as Ron DeSantis always says, decline is a choice. And I want to illustrate that a little bit further, because a few new laws have been signed here in Florida. And one of the things we were talking about last week are all these cases of squatters' rights in New York and in California, that you can literally just go into someone's home. And if you're there for a certain period of time, suddenly it's your home. And we showed you that video of the woman in Queens getting arrested for trying to kick squatters out of her house. It was not in dispute whether it was her house or not. Well, Florida, we ain't having any of that. We've got some info from Ron DeSantis himself. Today I signed HB 621 to provide homeowners with remedies against squatting and increase penalties on squatters. While other states allow criminals and vagrants to take over, Florida does not. With this action, Florida is stopping the squatters scam. You know, it's also great. We showed you a video of a police officer in Florida last week who basically said, yeah, if someone breaks into your house, shoot them. It would help us. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, defend your property so we don't have to do everything. Here's DeSantis with a bit more on the squatting situation.
You know, this idea of squatting, when Americans were settling like the Old West, you'd go, you didn't know who owned it, there weren't records. So if people started a community there, then someone came 6 or 7 years later and claimed it was theirs, well, that was different. It's an adverse possession. It was never intended that you could just go into some subdivision and break into a house and start living there, and then all of a sudden have all these rights vested. In New York, there was a case, and it was reported, where the homeowner went when someone had taken over her house, and the police did not evict the squatters. The police ended up arresting the homeowner. What kind of a country is that? And so, like, on many issues, what New York does, what California does, Florida will do the opposite. And so the squatter scam ends today with our legislation. And it's important because, Sean, you know, now being a Florida resident, we've got people that will be here for 7 months of the year and then they'll go to Michigan, right, or New York or even Canada. So what? You come back after the summer and someone's in your house and then they just get to stay there for 6 months. Now in Florida, you call up, you fill out a form, sheriff comes, and the sheriff kicks them out of your property.
Guys, it ain't rocket science. Like, that's good, competent governance. And if nothing else, if we just here in Florida and Texas and some of these other states, just every time New York does something, we just do the reverse. And let's play that out over a couple of years and see what happens. Chris Rufo from the Manhattan Institute had a great take on this. He said, it's worth stating the obvious. Conservatives identified a legitimate problem. Squatters depriving homeowners of their fundamental right to property. And DeSantis immediately solved it. No fanfare, no bloviating, no fundraising emails. Just problem solved. Next up. So where are these problems not solved? Well, of course, they're not solved. And many of them get their genesis moment in Los Angeles. And now it is even affecting, this is so sad, this is even affecting LeBron James. My God, we've got some info from Colin Rugg. LeBron James appears to suddenly care about the pitfalls of progressive policies as he has reportedly become very concerned about squatters in his neighborhood. Two doors down from James's Beverly Hills property, squatters have taken over a home. The home is used for cocaine orgy parties. I guess it's a whole bunch of DC people by the squatters. According to news outlet Curb, James is very concerned. One of the neighbors got in touch with LeBron James's house manager. They were told James was very concerned, the outlet reported. James purchased his property for $36.8 million in 2022 and tore down the home that it was built to build his dream home. The squatter home throws frequent parties that usually don't start until 2 a.m. The squatters are even impacting James' pockets. The NBA star reported needs 24/7 security guards because of the frequent parties. Police are not able to evict the squatters because they produced a fake lease agreement and obtained the driver's licenses with the address of the property. The neighborhood also belongs to celebrities like John Legend and Seth MacFarlane. People don't start cocaine orgies at 2 a.m. I don't know. I'm getting too old for this shit. Anyway, the point is, guys, so now it's like, okay, congratulations, LeBron. LeBron, he bought a $37 million property to knock it down to then build a house. Like, think about the amount of money the guy's got. And two doors over, cocaine orgy starting at 2 a.m. Okay, fine. Congratulations. You live in Los Angeles. But what's happening now, largely, is that as the left goes bananas, more and more people are just coming around to sanity. Now, the question is, can they vote for Trump and how do we work all that out? And by the way, I mentioned to you yesterday, I've got RFK in here tomorrow. I'm going to talk about what he really thinks his path is and all of that stuff. But I want to show you a video of Joe Rogan praising Ron DeSantis for this anti-squatter stuff because it's just freaking basic stuff that everyone knows is right.
And if you take that, you'll shoot a lot better and hopefully you'll save taxpayers money.
Hilarious. That's Florida. And then DeSantis just came out because all these houses are getting, people are squatting, taking over people's houses in New York. I'm sure you've seen that. Lady got arrested because she changed the locks on her own house. Someone's squatting in her house. She got into the house, kicked them out, changed the locks. They called the cops. They said they're tenants. They arrest her. Took her away in handcuffs because squatters were in her own house. And then there's this guy on TikTok that started making videos explaining to people what the laws are and how you can get into people's houses, and how you can squat. And so it's a genuine problem, because in Georgia, there's 1,000 houses right now that people are squatting in. That's a giant number of houses that squatters have just taken over these people's houses. They take over, they have it now.
Is that everywhere now?
It's a lot of states, but it's not Florida. In Florida, they're like, you. Like DeSantis just had a little press conference yesterday about it. He's like, in Florida, that does not fly. You know, there's no way anyone's going to squat in your house in Florida. Which is what people want to hear. It's just, I don't understand why there's so many laws that have been around for so long that when you see common sense solutions like Ron DeSantis saying, no, you can't do that. Stop. That's not going to happen in Florida. That should be every state. They should say, no, you can't steal people's houses. That should be simple. That has nothing to do with being Democrat or Republican. It's like stealing property. Just like no one should be able to steal your car. No one should be able to steal your clothes. They shouldn't be able to steal your house. It seems that's logical. It has nothing to do with racism or xenophobia or white privilege or any of these dumb things they try to attach to this. It's just law and order. We have to have a set of laws that we all abide by if we're going to have a peaceful society where you don't create victims and you don't empower criminals. And the fact that that is complicated in 2024 is so strange to me.
So the reason I wanted to show you that clip is because it ain't rocket science. And what people like about Rogan is he's kind of an everyman, right? Like, he's not an expert in any of these topics, but it's just like, yeah, you just can't let people steal your house and your car and your clothes. It ain't much more than that. So I think what's happening is, as sane people catch on, and they are catching on, remember, Rogan did not vote for Trump, but it seems fairly obvious to me that he's gonna vote for him this time, if he has the balls to vote. I hope that he does. But as sane people catch on, the insane people are going to get even more crazy. Like, that has to be it, because they seem to be unable to come around to anything roughly sane. I want to show you this video. This is Bill Kristol. And Bill Kristol was a conservative Republican, one of the leaders of the Republican movement for about 30 years. Trump kind of broke his brain, and he's basically a Democrat now. I think he officially has said he left the Republican Party. So they put him on a lot of these TV shows as sort of like the pet Republican, because he's not really a Republican anymore. And you guys know they get their cookie and they love that. And here he is blaming black men for not understanding how racist Donald Trump is.
Bad news is, so far at least, they're open to voting for Trump. I don't know what new information they're going to get about Trump that could scare them away. There could be some. I mean, I was talking to someone about this over the weekend, actually. I mean, he's doing pretty well among younger black voters. Are they really aware of what a racist Trump and his support is, and how much his supporters are just playing the race card flat out? And I got to think, for even black voters who don't like Biden much and they have some economic stuff in common with Trump and inflation and all, But I do think it requires work. I mean, the idea, and this worries me a little about the Biden campaign, they do sort of seem to me have a, and this is very, very true of sort of liberals on Twitter, you know, commentators, that so they just discount those numbers. They're not going to stick. I mean, how can you believe Trump's within six among Hispanics? That could never stand up. It may not stand up in future races, as you were saying, or down ballot, but could it stand up for Trump in 2024? I don't know. The Trump campaign's not stupid. I mean, they're going to be spending a lot of time messaging those voters.
Yeah, for sure.
And they think that's their possible margin of victory. They're looking at the exact same polls we're looking at, right? And they're having the same thought process in reverse. So I think it really does require work by Biden, by the Biden
concur.
Campaign. Well, thank you. Thank you, Bill Kristol, for telling black people they don't know what they're doing. Now, it's interesting. Isn't it funny now? Remember I said before they're going to use the racist card less because it's not quite working. And we're going to illustrate that further, and it's going to be more about the criminality thing. But even when he says it, don't these people know that Donald Trump's a racist? He never gives an example of how Donald Trump is a racist. Donald Trump, who gave his State of the Union speech, I think his second year, and talked about all-time low black unemployment and all-time low Hispanic unemployment, and the Congressional Black Caucus, I do this all the time, sat there like this, did not move. AOC didn't even show up. So what is racist about him other than you want to frame him as racist? But it ain't working anymore. And what's happening now is the Democrats, who have basically ushered in all of the policies that have harmed the black community, if you like that phrase, the black community, they're realizing, oh man, some of these people might be walking and we need that 92% of black people. Like, we give them basically nothing. We keep them in this cycle. And then they keep voting for us. What a great freaking situation. But they're starting to freak out. So here is Democrat political operative Paul Begala explaining that there's some problems with the Dems and the blacks.
Democrats around the country, they should be desperately concerned about their declining support in the black community, especially with black men. They should be and are very concerned.
They should be, and they are, but now we wanted to do that one quick because I want to throw to another Democrat strategist, James Carville, who I sat next to on the real-time panel with Bill Maher, and he had never heard that Very Fine People on Both Sides was a complete hoax, but he's even understanding that the Dems, they're losing the young blacks and the young Latinos.
You know, I've been very vocal about this. It's horrifying. Our numbers among younger voters, black, younger blacks, younger Latinos or whatever, but whatever, younger people of color, particularly males. We're not shedding them. They're leaving in the droves.
Yeah, they're leaving in droves because they're waking up. They're not buying the BS anymore. They're realizing that young black people and people of color, that all human beings, especially Americans, we just want the same thing. We want basic law and order. We want to live our lives. Most of us want to live and let live. We want to be able to go to a store without being mugged. Like, there's some basic stuff, and you guys don't offer any of it. So now they're moving over to the racist guy. It might make you want to look in the mirror, but as you guys know, they never do that. But I mentioned up top a phrase that Jordan Peterson, that I'm sort of borrowing from Jordan Peterson, that there is a spiritual war and it's manifesting itself politically. That's what's happening right now. Every one of us are involved in this spiritual war right now of what the world that we live in, what do we want it to be? And you can make some choices for yourself and your family and things like that. And then it scales up at the political level with policy and all that. But I want to show you something that I thought was super, super interesting. This is Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins is probably the world's most outspoken atheist. Maybe Sam Harris is there. But Richard Dawkins is certainly in the top two most outspoken atheists. And he is now coming around to realizing that he is pretty darn lucky that he lives in a Christian country. Take a look.
Well, I must say I was slightly horrified to hear that Ramadan is being promoted instead. I do think that we are culturally a Christian country. I call myself a cultural Christian. I'm not a believer. But there's a distinction between being a believing Christian and being a cultural Christian. And so, you know, I love hymns and Christmas carols, and I sort of feel at home in the Christian ethos. I feel that we are a Christian country in that sense. It's true that statistically the number of people who actually believe in Christianity is going down, and I'm happy with that. But I would not be happy if, for example, we lost all our cathedrals and our beautiful parish churches. So I count myself a cultural Christian. I think it would matter if we, certainly if we substituted any alternative religion, that would be truly dreadful.
But which brings me to my supplementary point, which is that, as we know, church attendance is plummeting, but the building, the erection of mosques across Europe, I think 6,000 are under construction, and there are many more, I mean, are being planned. So do you think, do you regard that as a problem? Do you think that matters?
Yes, I do, really. I mean, I have to choose my words carefully. I mean, if I had to choose between Christianity and Islam, I choose Christianity every single time. I mean, it seems to me to be a fundamentally decent religion in a way that I think Islam is not.
All right, so there's so much there. It's so rich. And Jordan and him are having a sit-down soon, is that right?
Yeah,
so Jordan and Dawkins will be having a sit-down. If you didn't see my interview, I interviewed Dawkins at the 92nd Street Y in New York a couple of years ago. You can find that across channels. But there's so much interesting there because you have a non-believer saying, in essence, what he's saying is, thank God I live in a Christian country, because within a Christian country, basically it allows me to live my liberal life. And I would say there maybe the better way to describe this would be that you sort of want someone who's Christian on the streets, liberal in the sheets, right? Like, that's what he wants. He wants to live his life. He's not a believer. You know, he's also happy that less people are becoming believers and there's less attendance at churches. While at the same time, he's going, oh, but the institutions that they, the things that bring people to those things are the things that are giving me the freedom. So I think he's a little muddled in his thinking, but I think Christian societies have allowed for classical liberalism. They have allowed for the layer of people to live differently, right? That's baked into the code of Christianity. Also, interestingly, when she brought up the thing about Islam there, Mehdi Hassan, who used to be a MSNBC host, he was fired a couple months ago, and he's awful, absolutely awful. He retweeted that clip and called him an Islamophobe. And it's like, he's not an Islamophobe. In what, there are, I don't know, 50 some odd Muslim majority countries. How's it going for atheists in those countries? So it's not Islamophobic to say that as an atheist, that you'd rather live in a Christian country. Of course you would. As a gay person, would you rather live in a Christian country? Of course you would, even if it doesn't allow for gay marriage. They're not going to behead you and stone you and throw you off roofs. So that is not a phobia is an irrational fear. He is a well-known atheist. You would not want to live in a Muslim country, but this is what they've got. They've got racism, they've got Islamophobia. It's just pure nonsense. Joel Berry, who's the managing editor of the Babylon Bee, I thought had a good take on it. He said, I've said it many times and I'll say it again. We have three choices moving forward: Christian freedom, Islamic tyranny, or CCP atheist tyranny. There is no such thing as a free post-Christian utopia. There are no other choices. Now, what's interesting about that is that I agree with the basic premise there, because in a Christian world, not that we all have to be Christian. That's the point. That's what's baked into it. Of course, you can be Jewish in that world, and you can be Hindu in that country, and you can be an atheist and everything else. That's what the beauty of Christianity has allowed, right? And you don't have to take my word for it. Just look at Christian-dominated countries and how they treat the other. And then look at Muslim-dominated countries and see how they treat the other. These are just obvious truths. And you can look to the purely, what would be the most secular, if you were trying to find the most secular country on the planet, I don't know, I guess you'd have to go to the Nordic countries, and they now have huge problems because they let in all of these immigrants and everything else. So they have massive, massive problems there. So the point is, it is the Christian countries, to the extent that America right now is a Christian majority nation. I'm not saying everyone has to suddenly convert, obviously. I'm not saying everyone has to believe, obviously. I'm not saying everyone has to believe the exact same thing about marriage or anything else, obviously. But having that layer of protection is the thing that allows the liberalism of America, which is a good thing that the founders knew was a good thing, because most of them were classical liberals who believed in a higher power, which is why the government did not give you the rights. The Bill of Rights protects your rights from the government. I think you got the point, but for some people who don't exactly get the point and who are confused by this intersectional matrix of oppression and who don't understand who the bad guys and the good guys are and that how they are coming after everything that we know and trying to break everyone's brains in the process, I thought this video was just spectacular. Here is a video of a gay pro-Palestinian activist meeting up with a traditional Muslim pro-Palestinian activist in the UK, and it does not go well for the homo. Wow, she went with the God create Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve line. I love it. I mean, it's just such a perfect juxtaposition. A woman who you can only see her eyes in an all black outfit, shaming the peaceful, tolerant, diverse gay guy in the fucking rainbow. I love everybody. Oh my God, they're beheading me. It's all so stupid. But that's the point, guys. What I'm trying to illustrate to you is that the spiritual war, in some ways, it's just sanity versus stupidity. And it's again what Joe Rogan talked about. It's like basic stuff. You can't steal our houses. And it's basic stuff. The gays shouldn't be in bed with the Islamists. And basic stuff that we all know. And let's not forget it. Let's not forget it. Let's remember it. How about that? And I'll end with a tweet by some guy named Dave Rubin. I thought he kind of nailed it yesterday. Been saying that the woke won't stop at the Saturday people, but we'll move on to the Sunday people as well. Trans Day on Easter wasn't just an attack on Christians, but an extension of the DEI machine, which aims to destroy our norms while ushering in a dystopian nightmare, awake greater than woke. And that is the point, guys. We don't all have to be Christians. We don't all have to believe the same thing, but we need something right now that is going to stand up to the woke cult and all of its manifestations across society. And until enough of us lay down some of the arms, stop some of the infighting, right? There's been a lot of infighting on the right over the last couple of weeks. I've been trying to build some bridges or put out some fires where I can. Until we do that, they will keep dragging us. They will keep dragging us. And we will look back the way many of us look back at the 90s or the 80s. Boy, did that really happen? Was it that good? Well, that's what we'll be thinking of 2024 one day. It'll be 2044 and things will be way worse. We'll have sectarian violence on the streets. We'll have Islamists fighting the rainbow caped gays and all the rest of it. And we're gonna go, boy, 2024 was pretty good because we didn't do enough in 2024 to stop it. That's where we're at. Guys, part two of my interview with Ben Shapiro, you've heard of that guy, is up across platforms right now. The full thing's up absolutely ad-free at rubenreport.locals.com. We did make it through the show today. We made it through the show. All right, we live-streamed. Hot diggity dog. People of the internet's live at 1 p.m. If you are not following our show account on the Twitter/X, it's at rubenreportshow. Post-game show in about 30 seconds. Goodbye.
How do you not look at Trump and not see criminal?
Well, do you think it's apathy, laziness, or insanity?
I think it's uneducation. That's what I think. I think it's uneducation, and I think it's what they're fed, what type of, like, you could go into different states and they have different type of news.
Thanks for tuning in to The Rubin Report. You can watch the show live every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern and 8 a.m. Pacific on Rumble, Locals, and YouTube. Don't forget to rate, review, share, and subscribe to this podcast. And you can join me for the post-game wrap-up every day after the show at RubinReport.locals.com.